Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for October 24th, 2008. This week, we'll tell you how vaccinating pregnant women against the flu also protects their babies. We'll answer a listener's burning science question about what causes ticklishness and report on the surprising health benefits of surfing the web. But first, Suzanne has a story about harnessing the power of electric eels.
Electric eels stun their prey by emitting up to 600 volts of electricity. They do this with specialized cells called electrocytes. Researchers Jian Xu of Yale and David Levan of the National Institute of Standards and Technology studied how these cells work. Their goal is to design artificial eel-inspired cells to power medical implants. Levan says electrocytes produce electricity when a signal from the eel's brain prompts the cells to push sodium ions out and allow potassium ions in. The result is a difference in ion concentrations between the inside and the outside of the cell.
A good example is to think of a hydroelectric dam. One side of the dam is higher. The water in that part has higher potential energy. You can harness that potential energy if you slowly release the water through a generator. And the cell in the electric eel works in a very similar way, in that the gradient is a difference in the ion concentration from inside the cell to outside the cell. And if you release that concentration difference in a controlled way, you can actually produce electricity in a useful way. This would allow you to harness naturally available energy sources, such as ATP in the body, to power very small sensors or other type of implants.
Levan says that in the eel, 3,500 electrocytes must fire at the same time in order to produce 600 volts of electricity. But his calculations suggest that even more efficient artificial cells are possible.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, Karina Wu has the answer to one listener's very sensitive question.
Dieter, a listener from Fort Collins, Colorado, emailed us to ask why human beings are ticklish. Well, some of the greatest minds have pondered that question, including Plato, Galileo, and Darwin. Yet today, it remains a mystery. Ticklishness may have started as a hypersensitivity to things crawling on us or attacking vulnerable parts of our bodies. We talked to neuroscientist Robert Provine of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and author of the book Laughter, A Scientific Investigation. He points out that it's much more than just a physical reflex.
The most important thing to know about it is that you have to be tickled by another person. So tickle is an important step in the evolution of the sense of self, because it takes something else that I call an other to tickle you.
That ability to distinguish between self and other means there's a built-in social component to tickling. Friends and lovers use it to show affection, or in some cases, to torment each other. But Provine says much more research into tickling is needed.
It's sort of one of these things like itch or hiccups or whatnot. These kind of quirky footnote behaviors that people think, oh, that's sort of interesting. But there's not a lot of serious science there. Well, tickle is a hugely interesting and important topic.
He says tickling could be one of the most primitive forms of communication and intimately tied to how humans form social relationships.
Thanks, Karina. Well, flu season is on its way, and sadly, babies under 6 months of age are the most likely to end up in the hospital with the flu among children in the United States. But a new study shows that mothers who get flu shots during the last 3 months of pregnancy can protect their newborns as well. Mark Steinhoff is director of the Children's Center for Global Health at the Cincinnati Children's Hospital. He and his colleagues vaccinated pregnant women in Bangladesh and observed them as well as their newborns.
In the infants in the first 6 months of life, there was 63% fewer episodes of influenza. And in the infants and their mothers, there were 30%, about a third less episodes of fever with respiratory symptoms.
Since flu shots aren't approved for babies under 6 months old, Steinhoff says vaccinating their mothers before they give birth is an effective way to prevent illness. Finally today, Suzanne's going to close out the podcast with a few stories about mental well-being.
Both drugs and psychotherapy can help patients feel calm, even in stressful situations. Now, Howard Hughes Medical Institute researchers have found that in mice, the relaxation is caused by new cells that grow in a part of the brain called the dentate gyrus. Removing the new cells makes the anxiety return. Understanding the physical changes in the brain that lead to feelings of well-being and safety could lead to new treatments for anxiety. In other brain news, UCLA scientists report that surfing the web is excellent brain exercise for older adults. In fact, for computer-savvy users, the practice stimulated more areas of the brain than reading did. They conclude that becoming computer literate and active on the web could help people stave off mental decline in old age.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. But Halloween is next week, and the U.S. presidential elections aren't far behind. And we found out what a good scare and politics have in common. We'll tell you all about that next week. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a brand new science story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.